What would happen, Ellen, if we were to go into our own inner self right now and live all of our incarnations that we have ever lived or ever will live or ever are in the allness that we are? What if we were to be Jesus right now as we are and were? And right now, not then, but right now. What if we were to be Mary Magdalene? What if we were to be Mrs. Wilms? You know, well, there's lots of Mrs. Wilms. Well, let's say your mother. What was her name?
Tilda.
Mrs. Wilms. What's your last name? What is your mother's last name?
Maiden name, you mean.
Her husband's. Well, your name is Jeremini.
Right.
Your
name was Wilms. You said that.
Well, then correct me. Oh. Say, yes, that's right. She was a Wilms. I was not sure because I hear many names from you and many references to different things. Yeah, I thought she was a Wilms.
Right.
Okay, now, was she a Wilms or is she a Wilm? Was she a Wilm or is she a Wilm?
Wilms, she
Don't
is.
Be slow.
She is.
Why is she is?
Because she's always what she is.
Why is she always what she is?
Because there's only the now. There's
Why is there
the
only
past.
The now?
There is no past.
Why is there only the now?
Because that's the only thing which exists. Because when I'm thinking a thought, I think it in the now. So
there's nothing else but the now.
Yeah.
Never be confused or never be pushed away from the truth. Well, and the truth is the truth. Now, what is your last name?
Jeremini.
What is your last name? Wilms. Also.
Okay.
Also.
All right.
Now, what was your last name in your previous incarnation when you were the wife of John Doe or when you were the husband of Peter Paul? You know? You know? You know?
Right.
Now, what names did you have? What difference does it make?
Right.
You're not living that experience now, and you don't even know that experience now, and you cannot even understand that experience now. All you can understand is any dimensions that you have lived in the now here. And so you understand your Wilms all through school and all through your maidenhood, all through your unmarried time. You were Wilms, and you didn't go back to Wilms after you got your separation, you know?
Right.
You kept your married name. Now, why did you do that?
Because I chose to. That was my choice. I lived in that.
Because you liked it. Because you liked it. Now, is that bad?
No.
Is she terrible for having done that, Sylvia?
No.
Why not?
It's her privilege and...
Well, does her now include Jeremini?
Yes.
Does her now include Wilms?
Yes.
Does her now include Wilms Jeremini?
Yes.
Does her now include her five first names?
Yes.
Could she ever get rid of her five first names?
Not really.
Not at all. Not really. No, she could not get rid of her first five names, even if she wanted to. Because her first five names are what?
Boss.
They're her.
Her.
They're her. Whether birth or not, they're her. Now, Ellen, was she born a Jeremini?
No.
No, she married a Jeremini and became a Jeremini. Now, she's no longer a Jeremini, but yet she's still a Jeremini. Now, why does she keep the name Jeremini?
Well, the children.
The children. Probably, that's the reason. She keeps the name Jeremini because her children. Now, if she'd go around with the name Wilms, and the children would say, that's my mom, Mrs. Wilms. And they'd say, oh, well, what was that all about, you know, out of wedlock? Well, now, you see, living in the now is such a precious thing, such a wonderful thing, and such a great and exciting thing. But if we don't live in the now, if we don't really do everything in the now, then we are living a false life. Now, what happens when you tell a lie? Sylvia?
You have to remember it.
Yeah, you got to remember it. But what happens when you tell a lie? You are not living in the now. You are saying something which is not valid, which is not true, which was not true, which is not true, and which cannot be true. Now you pretend it's true because you say, Sylvia, I saw your hair yesterday and it was red. You used a red henna rinse, you know. Now it was red. But Sylvia, today you're a blonder lady. Now, which is the real Sylvia? And you say, well, the real Sylvia is any color I choose to look at the time I choose to have it. And I can be as varied as I want to be. But you see, that's a choice, and that's a correct. Is that a lie?
No.
Ella?
No.
Ingeborg? It's the truth. It's the truth because we put the cause in motion. Now, can you live on every dimension right now?
Yes.
You
do.
Yeah, that's the answer. You do. It's not can you, it's you do. Now, are you intelligent enough to be aware of all the dimensions you're living on at one moment, at any time?
Yes, intelligent, yes, but not interested.
Oh, isn't that interesting? Intelligent, yes, but not interested. Now, is that true, Ingeborg?
All is a thought, so I can think whatever I want. And
so you're saying, yes, she can be intelligent, but she perhaps is not interested. Okay, why aren't you interested?
Because it is a distraction of my real self, because it's...
Now, Ellen, yeah. That's a nice statement, but it doesn't mean a thing. Why are you not interested? You are not interested because you have something else that you're interested in.
Yeah.
And what are you saying by that? You can be mentally or aware of how many thoughts at one time? You could be aware.
One thought at a time.
And are all thoughts there?
Of course.
Can you switch between thoughts on a... This is a very fraction of an inch?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a point.
Yeah. You can be aware from tip to tip to tip to tip. And I say, Ellen, alias. I say, Ellen, what's your dad's name?
Max.
Max. Maxie. Ellen, Max. Ellen, cigar. Uh-huh. Ellen, chocolate. Ellen, sister. Ellen, daughter. Ellen, son. Ellen, Herb. Ellen, Sylvia. Ellen Ingeborg. You know, every one of those, boom, you're instantly in a new picture. You're in a new thought form. You're in a new program. You are flipping between dimensions by flipping between thoughts. And so you are actually living all these dimensions at once. It's just that you linger with some and you don't linger with others.
Mm-hmm.
You pay attention to some and you don't pay attention to others. You're interested in some and you're not interested in others. Now, Ellen, you were in high school, and in high school you had a biology class. You know what biology class is? And in a biology class, they taught you how to dissect a frog. And so you dissected a frog. Well, now, Ellen, whether you did or didn't, that's not the point. The biology class teaches that. Now, did you like dissecting a frog? Yeah.
Well, just did it.
It's not particularly like or dislike. Do you remember dissecting it? It's not one of my joyous remembrances, so therefore I do not remember it. Is it bad? No. Is it good? No. It just an is, you know. Now, why have you made a negative is out of an is? Dissecting a frog is dissecting a frog. What was the frog doing before you dissected it?
Nothing, because...
It had left that body, hadn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It had left that corpus delicti, had left that form that it was in. It was a dead frog for our thinking. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, it wasn't anything really great. Now, if you thought, yuck, a liar frog, yuck, a real frog, whoa, you know, your dissection of it would be horrendous to you, you know. Now, we have experiences in life that are like that. We make them horrendous because we put them in the wrong frame of reference. Now, do you think a mortician is disturbed by working with bodies?
Cannot.
He cannot. It's just something he's working with. Do you think that a doctor is disturbed by working on the brain, doing a brain operation? Not if it's Sylvia's brain. But if it's his daughter's brain, then he's got an emotion in there. On Sylvia's brain, he says, oh, there's just a little something that's got to be taken care of. Then back in business, you know. His daughter, will I do the wrong thing? Will I touch the wrong thing? And he worries himself to pieces, and he makes himself ineffective. And this is why doctors, even when they're the top doctors, don't operate on their own children and their family. They cannot do it because they get involved. They get involved. And, you see, they haven't learned to be untouched. They learned to be untouched as a mortician working with body, but they haven't learned to be untouched if it's someone they know or they're related to. We want to go through life as an untouched being. We want to go through life as the master of who and what we are, go through life as the ideal relationship we are to all of life. Now, Ellen, if Little Love had a problem, what's the first thing you'd do?
Little Love is whole and perfect. All is in divine order.
Now, I'll rephrase that again. Ellen, if Little Love had a problem, what would you do?
I see myself whole and perfect and see the dog whole and perfect.
I would change my attitude about Little Love. I would see Little Love whole and perfect, true. But I'd change my attitude. I'd look beyond the appearance to his original purity and integrity. Now, can I be an effective surgeon or doctor for Little Love when I love him?
Yes.
Why?
Because I love him.
No, because I look beyond appearances and I am untouched by the appearances. You understand that?
Yeah.
See, it's not a matter of you love him, because hopefully you love everybody, you know. But you look beyond the appearances and you see him whole and perfect. But you don't really see him whole and perfect. You just look beyond appearances and he's his ideal self, you know. Do you see? Now, can you see how a practitioner works on all things? Now, how does a practitioner work on himself? How does a practitioner heal himself, so to speak? He thinks the right thoughts. Instead of thinking that he has an illness that he wants to get rid of, he thinks his body is the temple of the living spirit. It's beautiful, glorious, fantastic, you know. Now, does a master's body, is a master's body, is a practitioner's body, does he have an ideal skin?
Sure.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but my point is, Ellen, the minute I say something like that, we tend to equate it to ourselves and to what our illusion is at the moment and our limitation is at the moment. And because we do that, then we limit ourselves. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Teaching and being are the same thing. Because when you teach something, you're saying, you're whole and perfect, you're whole and perfect, you're whole and perfect. That's what you're saying. And when you're being whole and perfect. Now, how do you teach whole and perfect? You look beyond and you see the original purity and integrity, right? Is there anything to change?
No.
No. You're home perfect. I see your original purity and integrity. That's a better thing to say, because that reminds us what we're doing. Is there any death?
No.
Is there any reincarnation?
No.
Is there any incarnation? Alan, really?
No.
Ingeborg, really? Is there any incarnation if all time is now?
No.
Where does the incarnation take place?
In thought.
Where does a reincarnation take place? It just doesn't. It isn't. Our hopscotching and skipping from dimension to dimension is not an incarnation. Because it's not finished. We come back, we go forward, we go here, we go there. We are not incarnated as a frog, and we're not incarnated as a dog. We're not incarnated as a man. See, we live all of those at the same time. Every human being is everything. Dog, cat, you know, man, rat. It doesn't matter. And if we come to that awareness for ourselves, what a beautiful awareness we've come to. What a beautiful belief and consciousness we've come to. Now, are you ready for something like that?
Yes, sir.
I am it.
Now, when you visit your grandchildren in thought, are you any less there than when you are there in person?
No.
In fact, you're probably even more there, because that's the place you are in your thought, the only place you are in your thought. You give 100% of your thought to that. When you're there, you're looking at everybody else, and you're thinking about what you're going to eat or how you're going to cook or who's doing this or who's doing that, you know. You're involved in the very busy atmosphere, the very busy dimensional atmosphere of where you are. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We live fantastic lives.
Yes.
And if we live fantastic lives, and we want to live fantastic lives, then that means what?
I like me.
We let go and be God. We say, I like me is what we do, but we let go and we be God. Let go and let God. Let go and let your divine self be. And when you do that, then what happens to your life? It's fulfilled and fun, joyous and exciting. And healthy. Can you imagine God life being anything other than healthy? Now, where is our friend in Florida? Where does he live?
In paradise.
He lives in a gated community on a lake with all sorts of beautiful birds and other creatures. And in his beautiful gated community, they're served 3 meals a day. No concern about it. They have all the time in the world for meditation. And they have very few, if any, distractions. The distractions are self-imposed. If they buy a television, or if they have a radio, or if they listen to somebody else's, or if they are distracted by somebody else's activity or talk. And when he walks along the track and the meditation paths there, what does he do? He meets
other masters.
And what do they talk about?
About the mastership.
They talk about positive thinking. Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what he says?
He's being God.
Well, that's even better, isn't it?
That's what he said.
You said?
He said.
He says.
Well, that's what I say. And I asked you, but you didn't remember until finally Sylvia remembered. Well, he talked about being God. And what conclusion did they come to?
That they are God.
That it's a wonderful being God. Mm-hmm. Do you see what I'm saying? Every dimension is here and now. Every incarnation is here and now. Every reincarnation, whatever term we want to give it, is here and now, you know. And if you think you were somebody else, that's a good imagination. You probably were. You know, you might have bubbled in on some previous lifetime experience, but the thing is, you have so many things happening in this experience. It seems a shame to be wasting it on experiences thousands and thousands of years ago. Because essentially you're going to be having thousands and thousands of years to come. Because you are
all
eternal.
Eternal. You live forever. And when are you going to stop having experiences?
Never.
Never. And are you going to learn from your experiences? No. You're going to learn from one thing. I like
me
and I am God. You see, when you say I am God and all that it means to you, that's great. And I like me, that's great. Be yourself and have fun. So that's what the story is all about. So hang in there, pussycats, and have fun. And I'll open my eyes and I'll look out and I'll see you there.
All right.
Love you.
Love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.